So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text Number 18. Athaha Surabhi Krishnam Abhivandya Manasvini Swasantane Rupamantriya Goparupinamishwaram अथाह सुरभि कृष्णम् अभिवंद्य मनस्विनी स्वसंताने रूपामंत्र्य गोपरूपीणमीश्वरम् अथाह सुरभि कृष्णम् अभिवंद्य मनस्विनी स्वसंतानैरुपामन्त्र्य गोपरूपीणमीश्वरम् अभिवंद्य मनस्विनी स्वसंतानैरुपामन्त्र्य गोपरूपीणमीश्वरम् अथाह सुरभि कृष्णम् कृष्णम् अभिवंद्य मनस्विनी स्वसंतानैरुपामन्त्र्य गोपरूपीणमीश्वरम् माताजीज विल टेक द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन अथ देन आह स्पोक सुरभि द मदर ऑफ द काउज सुरभि कृष्णम टू कृष्ण अभिवंद्य ऑफरिंग रिस्पेक्ट्स मनस्विनी पीसफुल इन माइंड स्वसंतानै टुगेदर विथ हर प्रोजेनी द काउज उपामंत्र्य बेगिंग फॉर हिज अटेंशन गोपरूपिणम अपियरिंग एज ए काउहर्ड बॉय ईश्वरम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन Mother Surbhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Lord Krishna. Respectfully requesting his attention, the gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. Purport. The statement here that the heavenly cow Surabhi approached Lord Krishna along with her progeny, Swasantanai, is a reference to the transcendental cows who play with Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Although Lord Krishna's cows are transcendental, the heavenly cow Surabhi affectionately saw them, as indeed Lord Krishna himself did, as related to her. Since Lord Krishna was appearing in the form of a cowherd boy, the whole situation was quite congenial, and Surabhi took the opportunity to offer the following prayers. And then from text 19 onwards, there are prayers that are spoken by Surabhi. So before we speak, we would like to offer our prayers to the Acharyas.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena
तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले, स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले, श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So before attempting to speak on this topic, we would like to take the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that we can speak in a proper service attitude for the inspiration of all the devotees who are listening to this class. Surbhi, here it is described, has come from a heavenly planet. So she has come from a planet called Goloka, the planet of cows. And currently in front of her is Krishna, and she has taken along with herself Swasantanai, the cows of Vrindavan. Now it is described clearly that to associate with Krishna, to have personal association with Krishna, is not an ordinary task. So the cows of Vrindavan, who are every day sporting with Krishna, the gopis have their association in the night time, but in the morning they experience separation from Krishna and the gopas take over. The gopas have association of Krishna in the daytime and they get separated from Krishna when they return from the pasturing grounds. So either the gopis get association of Krishna or the gopas get association of Krishna. And in the daytime, similarly, the cows and the calves, they get association of Krishna. So they are special. It means the cows of Vrindavan, they are not ordinary cows. They are special transcendental cows. But here it is described that Mother Surbhi is perceiving those transcendental cows as her own progeny. So there is a small important point to be noted here. It is described that Lord Ramchandra, He appeared in the Solar dynasty and he appeared at mid-noon. The sun god is his devotee, Vivasvan. But seeing this, the moon god, Soma, who is also a devotee of Krishna, felt, oh, you know, he appeared in that dynasty. He should appear in my dynasty. So then Krishna, next time when he comes as Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he appears at midnight in the moon dynasty. So sometimes it is described that, now they both know he is the Supreme Lord. But there are occasions where the moon god sees Krishna as belonging to his Vamsha. So Krishna is in my lineage, he is in my line. Now they know Krishna is transcendental, but sometimes out of affection it happens, and Krishna also allows that. Uddhav speaks in the third canto, oh, the Yadus, actually they are unfortunate. How they are unfortunate? They got so much association of Krishna. But he says the Yadus are unfortunate because most of the Yadus, they thought Krishna is just like one of their family members. They did not understand the true nature of Krishna, that actually is the Supreme Lord. So Krishna also allows that out of his affection for his devotees, and devotees out of their affection for Krishna, they see Krishna as one of their own people. Similarly here, Surbhi, she thinks that the transcendental cows of Vrindavan, who are much, much superior to her, they're actually her progeny. So there's something for us to understand, that this is the affection of Krishna and this is the affection of his devotees. He allows these kind of transactions to happen, where an ordinary mortal feels and perceives the Supreme Lord as one of his own people. Now we are seeing that Surbhi's planet is heavenly planet. It means it is above the earthly planets. And still, the cows of Vrindavan who are playing with Krishna, right now they are on the earthly planet. Yes, this earth. So even though they are physically on the earth, they are considered to be superior to the heavenly cow, Surbhi. What makes them superior? What makes the cows of Vrindavan superior? What makes the dust of Vrindavan superior? It is their connection with Krishna. So, Krishna is great, and whatever belongs to Krishna, whatever is in connection with Krishna is also great. In Sanskrit, this is called tadiya. And for sadhakas like you and me, it is especially recommended not to just worship the Supreme Lord, but to also worship that which belongs to the Supreme Lord, which is called tadiya. This is the test of sincerity of a devotee. To respect, to be aware of the greatness of the main person, the central person, is easy. Yes, when we see the Supreme Lord and we hear about his wonderful, amazing pastimes, how he killed many demons, he established dharma, protected his devotees, annihilated the miscreants. It's easier to appreciate the greatness of Krishna. But the sincere devotee does not just appreciate the greatness of Krishna, he also appreciates the greatness of devotees of Krishna who are so great that the all great Krishna loves to be with them, hankers to be with them. Our conception of greatness is based only on powers or a manifestation of something amazing that that person can do. But the devotees of Krishna may not be great in that same way. The devotees of Krishna are great that they are so great, they can attract the supreme great. That is also one type of greatness. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what is your greatness? Can you fly? Can you sleep on a bed of nails and like that? So Prabhupada said, my greatness is that I have turned hippies into happies. Sleeping on a bed of nails can be done even when you put some anesthesia on the body and the sensation goes numb. So then you sleep on a bed of nails, no problem. Certain other magical feats that people can do. Somebody can walk on water and cross a river. So one time this was told to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that such and such person is able to walk on a river and he crosses the river by walking on water. So he said, now this greatness of this person is just worth 25 paise. In those days, that was the price that it would take for somebody to sit on a boat and cross the river. So he is doing something great by walking on water, and somebody else pays 25 paise, sits in a boat and crosses the river. What is true greatness? True greatness is when you can transform somebody's consciousness, when you can transform somebody's way of thinking. What to speak of transforming the way of thinking, transforming the consciousness of the source of all consciousness, Krishna. So the devotee's greatness is really great, that he is able to develop affection in the heart of the person who is the source of everything, who is the source of all greatness. Are we really true devotees, or are we just show bottle devotees? It will be revealed by how much we respect the tadiya of the Lord. And that's why Lord Chaitanya was very angry with Mukunda Datta. When he heard that Mukunda Datta, when he was with devotees, he would speak and act just like devotees. And when he would go out and meet some people who were not devotees, and some of them were even offensive Mayavadis, they would speak offensive philosophy. With them, Mukunda Datta would speak like them. Lord Chaitanya became so infuriated. He said, what is this chameleon-like behavior? If you are a devotee, you are a devotee in all circumstances. Not just to show off to people. So this shows actually how much we respect the Lord, not just in His physical presence, but also in His physical absence. The brother of Lord Ramchandra, Bharat Maharaj, was so happy to invite back Lord Ramchandra to sit on the throne. He went all the way from Ayodhya to Chitrakoot, begged him. He had to really come up with all kinds of reasons. He took some advisors with him. They also tried to convince Lord Ramchandra. One of them spoke atheistic philosophy. Just like Krishna speaks atheistic philosophy in this Govardhan Leela pastimes. One of the sadhus who was trying to convince Lord Ramchandra to come back to Ayodhya, he actually spoke atheistic philosophy. But the purpose was, let Lord Ramchandra come back. However, Lord Ramchandra did not give up. He was firm. So what did Bharat Maharaj do? He relented. He said, alright. And then he said, alright, if I cannot have you, let me have your tadiya. Please give me your sandals, the paduka of Lord Ramchandra. He took them. He put them on the throne. He worshipped them. And he himself led a very, very austere life in a small cave-like structure some distance away from Ayodhya. He would wear deer skin. He had matted hair. It means no expectation of the benefits that come from the throne. So Lord Ramchandra is telling him, no, you sit on the throne. I am off. 14 years, I am in one vas. It means the throne is his, officially, for everyone to see. So he's sitting on the throne, and with every responsibility, with every post, come some facilities. And with every post, with every seat, come some responsibility. So Bharat Maharaj is so amazing. He accepts the responsibilities of the post, that he will rule as a king, he will take meetings with his ministers, he will engage in politics, he will make sure that the kingdom is managed properly, crime is curbed and all that. But he will reject the facilities that come with the throne. What an amazing devotee. So, later after, so he is managing the kingdom in this way, and then Lord Ramchandra goes, and then after Ravan is killed and Vibhishan is enthroned, finally, the time comes when it is time to leave. It is time to come back. So Lord Ramchandra boards the Pushpak Viman. He wants to come back as soon as possible to Ayodhya to meet his mother Kaushalya and to meet his brother Bharat. So he does not walk his way back. He could have done that, but out of his eagerness, out of his anticipation, he does not do that. So as he's coming, he takes two stops. One he takes in Kishkinda, from where the monkeys joined him. He says, you should get your wives also along. Let them also witness my coronation, not just you. And then he takes another stop in a forest where he had met Bharadwaj Rishi. He takes his blessings. So this Bharadwaj Rishi tells him, before you reach Ayodhya, you should send a messenger and you should find out whether your brother is still hoping that you come back. See, this, some small comforts of a small facility sometimes we get in the course of managing certain affairs in this world. And sometimes those facilities are so comforting. It is so nice. There is a thought that comes. This is a nice situation. Yes, let me enjoy this facility. So what to speak of ruling over the whole kingdom of Kaushal with obedient citizens and full mercy, full ashirvad, sanction by Lord Ramchandra. So that's why he says that you should send, and then Lord Ramchandra takes that advice seriously. He sends his most trusted servant, Hanuman. And he tells Hanuman, closely observe the face of Bharat. You should observe what is his reaction when you tell him that I am returning back. If there is even a small hint that he is not happy, even a small hint, you come and tell me and will not return. I am just happy to let him rule the kingdom. So obviously, you know, he knows that Bharat is leading a very austere life. He is not even eating properly. He is not even taking rest properly. He is doing tapasya in Nandigram. But just see the nature of the Supreme Lord, that the Supreme Lord wants to go deep into his heart. The Supreme Lord knows there are a lot of sannyasis and there are a lot of sadhus who are doing intense tapasya in Himalayas. They are doing much more deeper and tougher austerity than any of the austerities that Bharat Maharaj did. However, just by the basis of austerity and tapasya does not mean that you love Krishna. We have that example of Ramdas Vipra in Chaitanya Charitamrita, who accompanied Lord Chaitanya, and then he was also carrying the bag of Lord Chaitanya, and he was always chanting the names Ram, 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 Ram. Now, who was he accompanying? Yes, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami he was accompanying, and he was always chanting the names of Lord Ram. However, when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami came and met Lord Chaitanya completely neglected this person. Now Lord Chaitanya has come here to give us the holy names. That is his main gift. And here is a person who's served his devotee and is constantly chanting the names Ram, Ram, Ram. Why would Lord Chaitanya, whose main message is that you should chant the holy names, and is completely neglecting this person who is already doing that? Here he is preaching to people, you should chant holy names, the only way is the holy names. And here is a person who is chanting the holy names. But Lord Chaitanya is not impressed by externalities. Chala bhakti dushana Rama. In one of the poems, Lord Chaitanya is described as Chala Bhakti Dushana Rama. He does not like pretentious behavior. He will pardon the most sinful of people, Jagai Madhai. But somebody who is pretending, Lord Chaitanya does not like. So he knows the heart of this Ramdas Vipra, although he is chanting Ram, 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 there is no attitude of service to Ram. He was a Mayavadi in his heart. He wanted to become Ram. He wanted to merge with Ram. So Lord Chaitanya completely neglected him. Did not even give him a glance also. So Lord Ramchandra also, he knows, maybe Bharat Maharaj is doing tapasya externally. Everyone can see tapasya. When you don't eat something and when you are lean and thin, you are emaciated, everyone is watching you and everyone says, Prabhu, you know, you are really doing tapasya. You are really amazing. How can you not eat and like that? It's easier to get noticed. But he wants to go deep into the heart of Bharat. And he says, even the slightest hesitation, tell me. It means there is some attachment for the kingdom and then I don't want to go. So Hanuman takes this order upon his head. He goes there. He meets Bharat Maharaj and he tells him the news. Lord Ramchandra is coming back. Bharat almost faints. After some time he regains his consciousness and he says, who are you? He says, are you a demigod? Who is my well-wisher? Are you a rishi? Who are you that you are capable of giving me the most awaited, the most happiest, the most eagerly anticipated news? How happy I am. He becomes so happy. He says, I want to give you 1,000 maid servants. I want to give you gold. He just becomes so happy. He's overjoyed. Then he calls Shatrughna. And he tells Shatrughna, spread this news in the entire kingdom. Our dear Lord Ramchandra is coming back. He says, decorate the whole city. When Lord Ramchandra comes back, he must know how we are eager to meet him, how happy we are to have him back. So seeing all this, Hanuman, he is a true servant. He just relays the news. He does not speak anything more than that. Yes, Bharat also asked him, "No, tell me, what all did Ramchandra do? How was he victorious? How many demons he killed like that? You know, Vijay Katha." He wants to hear from Hanuman. Hanuman tells him. So seeing all that happiness of Bharat Maharaj, Hanuman is convinced, this person, the austerity part, the tapasya part that he is doing, is definitely to his credit. But the real credit of Bharat is his deep unflinching love for my Supreme Lord. In fact, I don't even feel that his love for Ram is in any ways lesser than my love for Ram. Hanuman is such an amazing devotee. He thinks, oh, he also has a similar love for Ram. So happy. It means it is clear. Bharat actually is looking forward to Ram. So then he keeps quiet. After some time, the Pushpak Viman comes. It descends on the ground. So it is described Sugriv, Angad, and some other principal monkeys. They take a human form. Because some of the residents of Ayodhya, they'll have difficulty relating to, you know, thousands of monkeys just coming and coming from that Pushpak Viman. So one interesting thing is that when Hanuman has already told the whole story to Bharat just now, it means the glories of all the monkeys and how they served Ram selflessly, it has been revealed. So when Sugriva steps down from the Pushpak Viman, Bharat, first they embrace each other, and then Bharat goes to Sugriva, embraces him and says, "My dear Sugriva, you are like the fifth brother. We are five brothers and you are like the fifth brother." So we wanted to highlight this point that Bharat is such a sincere devotee. If not Lord Ramchandra, no problem. Give me the tadiya, give me the sandals. He worships those sandals. In his heart, he is still eagerly waiting for Lord Ram to come, but he is externally practicing tapasya. And another tadi of Lord Ramchandra is Sugriv, because Sugriv helped him in times of need. So whoever is dear to Krishna is dear to me. Similarly, whoever served Lord Ramchandra is my fifth brother. He's calling a monkey brother. Not very easy for somebody to do. So how deep is Bharat's character? And then he meets Lord Ramchandra and gives him a report. He says, "My dear brother, for the 14 years that you were not there, the kingdom was managed nicely." He does not say, "Well, I was in such deep separation from you. I was just crying and crying. So what can be done? I was really, really pained when you went away. So there were some lapses. I could not manage the kingdom." No, he gives a detailed report. He says, "The crops have increased. The money has increased. Justice system has become better." And like that he says, "The wealth of Ayodhya has increased tenfold times since you have gone." So in those 14 years of absence, when Bharat was practicing intense tapasya, he was not enjoying any of the facilities and all that, he increased the wealth of Ayodhya 10 times. Just see his dedication. He did not take shelter of the fact that he does not have facilities. He put all his heart in trying to serve the Lord in his physical absence. So this is what is a true devotee. When he is in charge, yes, he is a responsible devotee. But when he is representing somebody else, when he is managing affairs on behalf of somebody else, he excels himself. He sets a higher standard for himself. Another point that comes up in this regard is, Krishna's Vrindavan, there are the gopas, the gopis, the animals, parrots, deer, the cows. So when we read that Indra tried to kill the Vrajvasis, it's not just the human Vrajvasis. So when Indra is creating such a big scene, trying to harm them, it means he is trying to kill the cows also. Yes? In fact, it is described in one of the shlokas in the 25th chapter when Indra becomes really furious. So Indra says to the Samvartaka clouds, "These people, they have become Madando." Yesterday there was a shloka, Madando, that Indra was Mada Andha. He was maddened by pride. Indra uses the same word for Vrajvasis. He says, they have become proud because of their wealth, and their wealth has come because they take protection, they do protection of cows. So, what is the real wealth of the Vrajvasis? The cows. Maddened by pride, the Vrajvasis who have cows as their wealth have become rich. And because they have become rich, they dare to disrespect me, the giver, the original source of their wealth. Destroy their animals, which means destroy their wealth. This is an explicit instruction to the clouds. You kill the cows of Vrindavan. That is the source of their wealth. And it is described that when the hail was coming, when the rains were coming, there was strong cold wind, the cows were in a deep distress. It was very difficult for them to maintain life in that cold weather. Some of the cows, they were trying to hide their own heads and their calves beneath their bodies, it is described. So, you know, they are taking shelter. They are trying to protect themselves from the rain. Why are we discussing this here? Because after the whole thing has happened, and now Krishna has protected all the Vrajvasis, and then Indra is ashamed, his pride has been pulverized. What does he do? He goes to Brahma. He says, I need help. Please guide me. I have offended the Supreme Lord. So what does Brahma do? Brahma himself has learnt the lesson the hard way, just some time back. So Brahma is, he's in a state of modesty. He does not want to again go to Krishna and show that now he is guiding somebody else when he just now committed a mistake himself. So he says, well, I'll not be able to help you. It's difficult for me. I'm shy of again approaching Krishna. But you approach Surbhi. Just imagine the predicament of Indra. He's offended the Supreme Lord and he specifically wanted to kill cows. Then he realized his mistake and he goes to Lord Brahma, who is father, Pitamaha of this universe. And Pitamaha says, I cannot help you. So he says, now who will help me? So he says, go to a cow. Can you imagine the embarrassment of Indra? He tried to kill the cows and now he has to take shelter of the cows to rectify his fault. Who is he? He's a demigod. He's a great person. He's a very powerful person. And now he has to go and approach a cow. And let us get reminded of this fact. It was not a cow of the spiritual world, cow within the material world. It means, you know, Indra is much superior in power to the cow of the material world. So just imagine the humiliation of Indra. Step by step, Krishna is creating such a situation. He has to eat his own words. He's so humiliated. So he goes to Surbhi cow and asks for protection. What does Surbhi cow do? Surbhi cow immediately agrees. The Surbhi cow here is mentioned as Swasantane. It means she has all the cows behind her. She has taken all the cows and now is approaching Krishna on behalf of Indra. So the cows that are there behind, now Surbhi herself has not undergone the torture that Indra subjected Vrajvasis to. So Surbhi is there somewhere on another planet. But now it is mentioned Swasantane, she is accompanied by all the cows of Vrindavan. So just imagine Indra is standing. Next to Indra is Surbhi. And behind Indra and Surbhi are all the cows of Vrindavan, whom she feels out of affection that they are her progeny. But who are these cows? They are the cows, just some time back, Indra had made an explicit plan to kill them. So Surbhi coming and helping Indra to approach Krishna is definitely a very great act of kindness. But we also wanted to highlight this point. What is the nature of these cows of Vrindavan? They were about to be killed. Their calves were about to be killed, almost killed. Krishna saved them. And now the offender who caused this whole tragedy, is now approaching their protector for forgiveness and is now using all those cows only. And they don't resist. They don't fight back. They don't say, you tried to kill us and now you want us to beg for forgiveness on your behalf. How dare you ask us this favor? They're so kind. They agree. They're meekly standing, following their leader, Surbhi. Why are they following Surbhi? They just saw some time back, Indra was forgiven by Krishna. Yes, we saw. Krishna has forgiven Indra. Krishna says, no, actually you are my devotee, but it is my nature that I use the chastisement rod if you commit a mistake. And then he says, Bhadram vo, okay, you go back to your duties, but this time be sure that you don't get maddened by pride. So Indra was forgiven by Krishna. So seeing that, the cows of Vrindavan, they are so much in this Dasanudas mood, they are so much in that following mood. If the master has forgiven some offender, we also forgive the offender. They don't take the offense even of killing seriously. Yes, there are six types of aggressors mentioned in the Gita. And somebody makes an attempt to kill you, you have full right to kill him. Indra made an attempt to kill not just one or two, the whole Vrajvasis. Somebody mentioned it was a mass genocide. I think Maharaj mentioned in the Vrindavan Yatra. Mass genocide, he said. Killing everyone. And his cows, so alright, Krishna has forgiven the offender, we also forgive the offender. And they join Indra to offer prayers to Krishna. They join Surbhi. This is the kindness of these cows of Vrindavan. It is said Lord Ramchandra is so kind. Jayanta Crow, when Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi were in Chitrakoot, he came and caused bodily discomfort. He caused a wound on the tender, delicate body of Mother Sita. What a great offense. One level of offense is to hurt the Supreme Lord. Another level of offense, much more serious than that, is to offend the devotee of the Lord. And the third degree is in the presence of the Lord. So Mother Sita and Lord Ramchandra were sitting and Jayanta Crow came and made a wound on Mother Sita's body. Lord Ramchandra hurled a kusha grass at him to harm him. It turned into a brahmastra. So he went all the way. He went to Indra. He went to all the big people. He could not get shelter. So he comes back and surrenders to Lord Ramchandra. Begs for forgiveness from Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra forgives him. So the nature of the Supreme Lord is, if you commit mistakes, he'll punish you. But not as some kind of a malicious person. When in power, he completely abuses his power and completely destroys the person. No, as much as is necessary. Not a cent more, not a cent less. So if you are a devotee of Krishna and you do some mistake, be sure that there is punishment waiting for you as much as is necessary. And within that, if you beg for forgiveness, the same Lord who is so particular about giving punishment is totally non-particular about forgiving you. He completely disregards all the systems of justice and karma and all that. I says, all right, you sincerely beg for forgiveness, I pardon you. So since Lord Ramchandra is like that, Lord Krishna is like that, the cows of Vrindavan, they are also like that. In the Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj episode, this forgiveness quality is appreciated as the greatness of a devotee. So Ambarish, he also has been attempted to be killed by Durvasa Muni. And the Sudarshan Chakra saves Ambarish and chases Durvasa. Durvasa goes all over the world. He goes to Lord Shiva. He goes to Lord Vishnu himself. Comes back. Begs forgiveness from Ambarish. And what does Ambarish Maharaj do? He does not speak a word. He does not say, so did you see now who is who? Nothing like that. So the first shloka that Durvasa Muni says is, Aho Ananta Dasana Mahatvam Drishta Madhyame. So he uses the word Mahatvam. Mahatvam is greatness. So he says, oh, today I have seen the true greatness, the real greatness of a devotee of the Lord. What is that? Krita gasobi yad rajan mangalani samihase. He says, although I try to kill you, you not only forgave me, mangalani samihase, on top of that you wish well for me. So one thing is, you harm somebody, the other person keeps quiet. He's a foolish person, he does not understand you're harming him. Ignorance. Another level is, you harm somebody, the person gets up and harms you. Higher than that is, you harm somebody, that person forgives you. Higher than this is, you harm somebody, that person not only forgives you, he wishes you well. He awards you some kind of a ashirwad. He says, you know, may you become a better person or something. So he says, this is just too much for me. Durvasa also is a great tapasvi. He has never done this tapasya. He has probably practiced penance on the bodily level much more intense. This penance, somebody tries to kill you and you forgive him and you wish well to him. This is too much for his definition of penance. He says, I have never seen anybody like this. This is the greatness. Mahatvam drishta madhya mein. He says, mad agham prishtatah kritva. He says, prishtatah in Sanskrit means you put it back, you put it behind. So he says, what did you do? My offense is right there. It's not some subtle offense. It was not a mental offense. It was not something that has to be perceived by some intelligent person. It was a gross offense. I created a big demon to attack you. But he says, mad agham prishtatah kritva. You put it aside and you are wishing well for me. So this is something for us to learn. Ambarish Maharaj, it is described, what was his greatness? How could he achieve this kind of deep compassion? His activities were not superhuman. It is mentioned, Savai manah Krishna padaravindayo vacham sivai kuntha gunanu varnane harer man karau harer mandira marjanadishu shritim chakara achyuta kathodaye. So his activities are described. It's not that, you know, he would sleep less. Something like that. What he would do? He would engage all his senses in the service of Krishna. So one of our acharyas, he takes the word chakara achyuta satkathodaya. So chakara word means he engaged. It is not mentioned. The translation does not say he did this. He says he engaged his mind in thinking about Krishna. He engaged his ears in hearing about Krishna. Like that it is mentioned. So what is this? This is just like Ambarish is a king. And Ambarish is used to giving orders. So when he gives orders to his servants, because he is the king, they obey his orders. But what kind of a king is Ambarish? He is not just a king in the court. He is a king even in his privacy. He is a king of his own senses. There are many kings in this world who are kings of their ministers, who are leaders of their followers, and when they speak a word, the followers have to obey it. They cannot utter a word. However, in the privacy, when they are all alone, then they become a slave. So this Acharya says, what a king is this Ambarish. He is not just a king in the court, he is also a king in his privacy. He tells his senses, think about Krishna, and the mind thinks about Krishna. He tells his ears, hear about Krishna, and the ears actually hear about Krishna. How nice it is not for us to learn from. We tell our senses, please connect yourself to Krishna. They look at us back in so much anger. Sometimes we get afraid, sometimes we get some enthusiasm from our friends, from our devotees, and sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. So what an amazing king Ambarish is. So this is this forgiveness quality of a devotee. And here Surbhi and all the, specifically the cows of Vrindavan, they are also so forgiving. Surbhi is also an amazing personality that she is completely aware of the precarious situation of Indra in this case. She knows she is the sole savior of Indra. The highest person in the universe, Brahma, has declined to save Indra. Who else now can help the situation? She herself. So, when she accompanies Indra to meet Krishna, she is in a very advantageous position. She can command, she can decide what happens. And Indra cannot speak a word. She is his last hope to save himself. But what is the nature of Surbhi? We saw in this chapter, Indra and Surbhi offer prayers. This is the 18th shloka that we are discussing today. 17 shlokas Indra spoke. So we wanted to highlight this point that here is Indra who is in a weak position. He does not have any other hope other than Surbhi to beg forgiveness from Krishna. Surbhi comes along, but Surbhi keeps quiet. She lets Indra speak. Now this is very rare. If there is something to be done, imagine a situation where one devotee has done something wrong and now he is in a deep soup, he is in a deep troubled situation, you are his only hope and he comes to you. Will you help me? So, very difficult to be humble and kind and compassionate in that situation when you know you can call the shots. You decide what happens, yes? When somebody seeks help from you, the tendency, the chance is that at least for that particular situation, you boss on him. You say, all right, now I'll help you. Now open your ears nicely. Take out a notebook. Note down properly what are you supposed to do. Yes, now I'll decide what exactly will happen there. Surbhi, she's such a nice devotee. She's such a gentle devotee. She says, okay, I'll come with you. And Indra keeps on speaking this. Krishna also tells him, all right, forgiven. And then it is mentioned in this purport. Since Lord Krishna was appearing in the form of a cowherd boy, the whole situation was quite congenial. And Surbhi took the opportunity to offer the following prayers. She took the opportunity. Indra did not give her an opportunity to offer prayers. Indra is still self-absorbed. Indra is still concerned about saving his neck. So Indra did his job. He took. So now she is there. Now he cannot harm me. Now he is not going to become angry on me. So he speaks his prayers. He begs forgiveness. Krishna also says, all right, forgiven. Now you can go. He is not giving. He is not requesting Surbhi. Surbhi, would you like to speak? You are my savior. Surbhi takes the opportunity because of the congenial mood. Just see what is the heart of Surbhi. She does not seize a chance to speak first. So there is a exalted devotee and there is a devotee who has just committed an offense and now they are going to meet the Supreme Lord. One would expect the superior devotee, the exalted devotee to say, now my dear Lord, I'll tell you something, you know, he is a nice person actually, he committed a fault, but now he has taken shelter of me and I'm guiding him on a regular basis. Now he is under full protection. I'll make sure that he does not commit this offense again. Okay, do you agree that now you'll not commit any offense? Yes. To show to Krishna, Krishna, who's great. In this situation when nobody could help, I am the person who can help. Surbhi is not like that. So many people sometimes when they try to offer us help, the agenda is, this is the time when my glory will be revealed. Now people will see, I am not an ordinary devotee. How I am so capable of guiding people, how I am so capable of helping people, how am I so mature and like that. So if that thought is there, the whole purpose is defeated. Because then that help is self-motivated. That help is not motivated with true compassion, with true tenderness of the heart. That this is truly to help you, this is nothing to do for me. When Duryodhan was, he was thinking, what to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So Duryodhan had been to Indraprastha. He sees the fabulous palace of Indraprastha. And now he's thinking, how can I get this opulence? I cannot fight with them. He is Dharmaraj. Arjun is such an amazing person. He's dear to Krishna. Bhima is equal to me in strength, more also. So there is no physical way that I can get this wealth. But I am burning in envy. From the day he returned from Indraprastha, he could not sleep a single night. So one day as he's sitting like this, Shakuni comes to him and says, what happened? So he says, I am burning with envy. I need that palace, but there is no way I can get that palace. He says, I'll tell you one thing. Invite them to a gambling match. I am your true friend. So then we know there was a gambling match and they came. So we won't go into the other details, but the point that we wanted to highlight is, the match is going on between Duryodhan and Yudhishthir. So who plays the dice on the Pandava side? Yudhishthir. Who plays the dice on the side of the Kauravas? Not Duryodhan. This is one of the anomaly of this gambling match, by which this gambling match is not to be given, you know, recognition. Because the two players that are playing the gambling match was Duryodhan and Yudhishthir. However, Duryodhan never played the dice. Duryodhan was sitting, but on behalf of Duryodhan, it was always Shakuni who played the dice. And this is against the rules of the game. Just imagine, you know, there's a match going on. I'm just giving you a contemporary reference. We don't want to shift to cricket, but just to give you a contemporary reference. There is a match between two countries going on. So one party plays, and when the other party is supposed to play, you see some other players from some another country playing. So you say, what happened to you? So no, we are representing them. Does not happen. It's not allowed. Similarly, in a dice match, Duryodhan should have thrown, but if Duryodhan throws, the winning would not have happened. It would have been a fair game. So Shakuni plays because it is loaded. He has already done some black magic on that. So what we wanted to highlight was, Shakuni, since he wants to help his nephew, he hogs the limelight. When the gambling match is going on, you know, these are the two players. It is described, a special hall was erected just for the purpose of this gambling match. A 1,000-pillared hall was made just for the purpose of this gambling match. Duryodhan wanted the whole world, as much as possible, to come and witness how he will win and Yudhishthir will lose. So everyone is watching this match. Yes, there are these two players playing the match. So Yudhishthir plays the dice. Everyone is watching Yudhishthir playing the dice. And then everyone watches Shakuni played the dice. What we wanted to highlight was, when Shakuni wants to help Duryodhan, he does not train Duryodhan. He does not have some kind of a training session for Duryodhan to help him win. He says, I am the one who will help you. For all time to come, people know, Shakuni played the dice, Shakuni helped Duryodhan. This is the help of a selfish person. He helps, but he wants to keep himself in the limelight. Surbhi is helping Indra, but she stays behind. All the help is done. Indra is pardoned. Seeking the opportunity, when the mood is congenial, she speaks a few prayers. This is the sensitivity of a devotee. The devotee is very sensitive. So after this gambling match, when the five Pandavas are exiled, then it is mentioned how Dhritarashtra, he asks Vidur, he says, the five Pandavas, Draupadi, they have now exited the kingdom. How did they leave? Can you please describe me? So it is described, Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he left the kingdom, when he left Hastinapur, he had a cloth on his face. He covered his face. Now in this world, when somebody is criminally convicted and is sent to jail, sometimes out of shame, they put a cloth on their face. Yes, when they are taken to court and like that. This is not the same. Why did Yudhishthir Maharaj cover his face with a cloth while exiting the kingdom? It is mentioned, Vidur tells Dhritarashtra. Although your sons persecuted him and deprived him of his kingdom by foul means, the wise Dharmaraj has not deviated from the path of virtue. Thus, he covered his face thinking, I may consume innocent citizens by looking at them with eyes made fearsome by anger. Yes? He is Dharmaraj. He knows what is right. He knows what is wrong. He knows how he has been cheated. There is anger in his heart. And that anger is reflected in the eyes. So he sees there are innocent people who sympathize with him, and they are all waiting to bid him farewell when he is exiting the kingdom. So he is saying, my anger should not cause any distress to ordinary innocent people who have nothing to do with this cheating. And so he covers his face. Did we hear of any person who covers his face out of concern for others? Till now, we have heard of people who cover their faces out of concern for themselves. They want to protect their face. They have done the most dirty things, but when they are convicted, they'll cover their face. No, actually, we are respectable people. We don't want to show you our face. But Yudhishthira is not like that. Yudhishthira is concerned. In that moment of great grief, who will think of others? Here you are. You have been cheated royally. Your brothers are... You have been sent to 12 years of exile. The class is over. If somebody wants to leave, you can leave. You have been cheated. You are in deep grief. But while exiting the kingdom, he is not thinking about why this happened to me. How could this happen to me? Where is Krishna? Is he not noticing me? He is thinking, what about his innocent citizen? This is the sensitivity of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada was also very sensitive that in places like India, in the early days in Vrindavan, Mayapur and places like that, there were so many difficulties for his disciples, mostly from Western countries. So when there were projects to be erected and things to be done, people who were used to great standards of comforts went through a lot of troubles. And Prabhupada, since he is a spiritual master, he has full right to give them seva, and that is their means of deliverance, to follow the spiritual master properly and serve Krishna. But when he saw that they were genuinely suffering, because they were used to a higher standard of comfort, Prabhupada vocally would acknowledge their sacrifice and would say, I am so grateful to all of you that you have sacrificed your comforts and now you are serving me menially in these rural places like Mayapur and Vrindavan where there are no facilities. He did not say, you know what, it's your duty. I am your guru, I am your spiritual master, you should serve me menially. Unless you serve me menially, you are not going to advance. This is the sensitivity of a devotee, this is the sensitivity of an acharya. He knows what is expected, but within that, he sees the good. He detects the good. And he glorifies devotees for that. So we also can become sensitive like Surbhi, and we also, to whatever extent possible, to the capacity that we have, we can help those who sometimes commit mistakes. Indra is a devotee of Krishna and Surbhi is also a devotee of Krishna. So some of us might be Indras. That we love Krishna, we want to serve Krishna, but sometimes we commit mistakes. When then some of us can hope or aspire to become like Surbhi, always taking the mood of staying in the back, not speaking when they want to speak, speaking when there is an opportunity to speak. Speaking not to show, I am the true helper, I am the true awarder of protection, but helping in a way that, no, this is to serve the other devotees. Come close to Krishna and come close to the spiritual master. So, with these few thoughts, I would like to end here. Since the time is already over, I would not ask for questions. If somebody has any questions, then I am available here in person after the class. But since it's late, we'll end the class here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.